Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
It felt great. Got a really nice reception from our fans and our players, and it was just great to be on the sidelines again. That's what makes it so much fun, to feel the energy of the finals, and so it's really nice to be back.
That's Steve Kerr, who after a six-week absence because of back ailments, was on the sidelines once again coaching the Golden State Warriors in Game 2 of the National Basketball Association Finals. And I'm sure it was really nice for Coach Kerr to return with a victory. The Warriors beat the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 132-113 in Oakland, California, to take a 2-0 lead in the best-of-7 championship series. The defending champion Cavaliers will host Game 3 in Cleveland, Ohio, on Wednesday night. During his playing days, Coach Kerr won 5 NBA titles, and now he and the Warriors are in great position for their second NBA title in 3 years. Golden State's dynamic duo of Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant has been the difference so far in this series. After they combined for 66 points in Game 1, Curry and Durant fired in another 65 points in Game 2, with Durant delivering 33 points and Curry 32. Steph Curry added 10 rebounds and 11 assists for the first playoff triple-double of his career. Talk to us, Steph!
Yeah, I'm playing with a lot of energy. That's the biggest thing. Trying to be aggressive every opportunity I have. I think there's another level to get to, being smart with the ball. So there is another level to get to. But just trying to be aggressive and enjoy this moment, man. Just playing in the finals, and the journey is unbelievable, and we want to keep it going.
While Steph Curry and the Warriors want to keep it going, LeBron James and the Cavaliers want to figure out how to beat Golden State.
You know, we're going to go home and watch the film, see ways we can be better, do things, I don't want to say differently, because you work so hard to this point to get to this point, but you know, maybe make a couple changes to see if we can, you know, be a lot better defensively and offensively. Thought for the most part, you know, with the game plan that we had, we tried to execute it as close as possible. We was much more physical today than we was, you know, in Game 1. And we forced them to 20 turnovers, and they still beat us pretty good. So, you know, we got to be much better, too.
LeBron James, like Stephen Curry, had a triple-double in Game 2, 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 14 assists. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, this was only the second time in NBA playoff history that two players recorded triple-doubles in the same game. And our VOA basketball fans will remember, a triple-double is double figures in three different statistical categories. The only other occurrence of two players recording triple-doubles in a playoff game was in 1970, when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then known as Lou Alcindor when he played for the Milwaukee Bucks, and Walt Frazier of the New York Knicks tallied triple-doubles in a playoff game. My Voice of America engineer this evening is Dan Crafton, and I want Dan to kick it! Kick it!
We'll be right back.
Kemi Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Voice of America. Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Now let's go to South Korea, where the field is now set for Thursday's semifinals at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament. Italy and England advance to the Final Four with quarterfinal victories on Monday. In Suwon, 10-man Italy tops Zambia 3-2 in extra time. And in Chonan, England defeated Mexico 1-0 on a goal by Dominic Solanka in the 47th minute. The 19-year-old Solanka will officially move to Liverpool on July 1st upon the expiration of his contract with English Premier League champions Chelsea. England will play Italy in one semifinal on Thursday, and Uruguay will go against Venezuela in the other semi. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the junior Chipolopolo of Zambia, who reached the quarterfinals for the first time ever at a FIFA Under-20 World Cup. The Zambian boys put up a brave fight in Suwon on Monday. Patson Daka scored his second goal of the tournament inside the first 4 minutes to give the junior Chipolopolo an early lead. The Italians equalized in the 50th minute when Riccardo Orsolini scored his fourth goal of the tournament, guiding home a header from the back post. Now, that goal came after Giuseppe Pezzella received a red card right before halftime for shoving Zambia's Edward Chalufya. In the 84th minute, Zambia's Fashion Sakala matched Orsolini with his fourth goal of the tournament. The junior Chipolopolo looked like they were going through to the semifinals, but substitute Federico DiMarco curled in a superb free kick in the 88th minute for the Italian boys to send the match into extra time. In the 110th minute, DiMarco's corner kick found another substitute, Luca Vito, who headed the ball home from close range. So, once again, Thursday's semifinals at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup will feature an all-European affair and an all-South American encounter. Italy versus England in one game, and Uruguay versus Venezuela in the other. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African club football news, is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin with the CAF Champions League result played across various venues on the continent this past weekend. A grievous mistake by USM Alger goalkeeper Mohamed Zamamushi allowed Zamalek of Egypt to grab a 1-1 draw on Saturday in a CAF Champions League clash. Zamalek midfielder Emmanuel Mayuka, who got the equalizer for Zamalek, said the game was a difficult one.
We fought, we worked hard, we pushed until the last whistle. We tried to win the game, but it wasn't meant to be. So I'm happy that we came out with a point, but otherwise I thought maybe we would have won the game today.
Salvaging a draw kept Zamalek top top of the table with 5 points. USM and Al Ahly of Tripoli of Libya have 4 and Caps United of Zimbabwe 3. On Friday, Al Ahly Tripoli scored 3 goals in 9 minutes during the first half to shock Caps 4-2 in Harare and become contenders for a top 2 finish and a quarterfinal place. Zanaco of Zambia maintained a great start in Group D as an 85th minute Didi Kitombo goal delivered a 2-1 win over struggling Cotton Sports of Cameroon in Lusaka. Ferroviario Beira of Mozambique won for the first time in Group A, edging Sudanese Warriors Almeric 1-0. Ferroviario are competing in the Elite African Club competition for the first time in their 93 years of existence. Ethiopia St. George defeated AS Vista Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo 1-0. Mamelodi Sundowns suffered a 1-2 defeat to Esperance at home. In the CAF Confederations Cup, Uganda's KCCA enhanced their chances of reaching the quarterfinals for the first time after they beat Nigeria's Rivers United 2-1 in their Group A encounter, moving the Ugandan champions to 6 points so far in the group stage. Stanley Egoma, chief coach of Rivers United, insisted that the game was not an easy one after all.
This group is a tough group. It's a very tough group. All the teams are strong. Even at home, it's always difficult. We didn't come here to lose the game. But if our plans had worked out, it would have been a difficult game for the KCC team.
His Ugandan's host, Mike Mutumbi, said his side would have scored as many as 4 goals.
We troubled them in the final third, but like I've always said, we're not effective. We would have scored about 4 goals. So, but the good thing is that we troubled them.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeeds. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. Now let's go to Madrid, Spain, where thousands of fans gathered Sunday night at the Santiago Bernabéu Stadium to celebrate Real Madrid's record-extending 12th UEFA Champions League football title. Real defeated Juventus of Italy 4-1 on Saturday in the final in Cardiff, Wales. The man of the match was Portuguese star Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored 2 goals.
I'm very happy. Amazing season again. We win trophies. And, of course, it's one of the best moments in my career. I have opportunity to say that every year. That is true. This year was amazing again. Last year was amazing, too. So it's great. Now I have 2-3 days off to rest. And after, we have a qualified game for Portugal. And we have Confederation Cup. Long season, but I'm motivated. I'm happy. I'm a good moment. And my head is just a number. I feel like a young boy.
Cristiano Ronaldo also recorded his 600th career goal for club and country with his performance in Wales. His second goal in Cardiff was his 105th in Champions League play, putting him well clear of Barcelona rival Lionel Messi, who has 94 goals at the top of the all-time scoring list. Cristiano Ronaldo was also this season's top Champions League scorer with 12 goals. Real Madrid became the first club to retain the trophy in the UEFA Champions League's expanded format. In addition, Real's French manager, Zinedine Zidane, well, he's earning kudos too. Zidane led Real to its first La Liga Champions League double since 1958. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Lots to talk about, starting with Real Madrid. Of course, everybody on social media talking about La Duodecima, the 12th time that they've won this title. And of course, as you said, the first team to retain the title. So lots of excitement among Real Madrid fans, and lots of excitement for Cristiano Ronaldo. Quite an impressive game for him, an impressive season, and an impressive weekend capped off not just with that victory, but the announcement that Cristiano Ronaldo is the new cover star of FIFA 18. This is the new video game that they put out every year for all the FIFA stars. We've talked about in the past how with Madden football here in the U.S. or NBA, the NBA game every year, it's an honor to be on the cover. So it's no different for the FIFA 18 having Ronaldo on the cover. It's the first time he'll ever be on the cover. And many saying that this has solidified his goatness, being on the cover.
His goatness!
Retaining the Champions League title, winning the 12th Champions League, all these things they say add to his resume. But of course, this battle is going to continue unabated forever, the battle between Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, carried out by their fans. And Lionel Messi's fans say that, well, he's been on the cover in the past, so that's, you know, he's already had that honor. And they're pointing out that Messi is now working with video game company Konami to promote their Pro Evolution Soccer. So a little bit of a rivalry in the video game sphere. We have a rivalry on the soccer pitch, and now we have the rivalry in the terms of video games between these two. So very interesting. But, you know, these sports games are so popular, not surprising that this is getting a lot of talk on social media.
One of our VOA colleagues, Dan Friedel, likes to play those FIFA video games, Andrew. So we'll have to say, have to ask him whether he supports Messi or Ronaldo.
Yes, a big hot question today.
Well, what else is trending out there, Andrew?
So in the U.S., the big story that everybody's talking about is the NBA Finals and some great news, regardless of which team you are rooting for. Although some might say it was bad news for the Cavaliers last night because they lost, but Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr, who we heard from earlier in the show, returning to Game 2 after missing the entire postseason so far with health issues. He's had some back problems. Fans excited to see him back, although they do note that his replacements have a better record in the playoffs than he has had. So, go figure. But after the game, a really nice moment, LeBron James sees Steve Kerr on the court. He taps him on the shoulder and he embraces him and welcomes him back. So really nice moment, a classy move. A lot of people were saying, especially from somebody on the opposing team, a team you just got beaten by and you're thanking their coach, welcoming him back. One of those nice moments that transcends the competition of sports. So while that was a classy move for LeBron James, though, that after the game was over, another blowout loss, not such a classy move, some are saying, in the press availability afterwards. First of all, LeBron skipped out on the press conference because he was frustrated. He said it was taking too long for it to get underway. So all the reporters had to catch up with him in the locker room. And in the locker room, one of the reporters there asked him about defending home court. So this is how LeBron responded. He said, "Are you a smart guy? If we don't defend home court, what happens?" And the reporter says, "Well, then you get swept." And he said, "That answers your question." So people saying that it's apparent from that answer that LeBron is feeling the frustration from these first two games. Some people saying it was a dumb question to begin with. Of course, if you don't defend your home court, then you get swept. But lots of people saying that it's indicative of the fact that LeBron has not envisioned this going this way. Certainly he wanted to win both of the games, ideally. Last night, as I watched the game, they were pretty close until about the third or fourth quarter, and then started to pull away. So some of that frustration may be peeking through from LeBron James.
I think you can say the backs are against the wall if you're a Cavaliers fan. Wondering if Rihanna had anything to say about game two. She's been, I know she's rooting for LeBron and the Cavaliers.
Well, that was the issue in game one. That was a trending topic about Rihanna versus Kevin Durant. There was some instances of slow-mo video people put up where they claimed Kevin Durant was staring her down on the sidelines. There was one instance where somebody said that they thought Rihanna screamed brick when Durant was shooting a free throw. Apparently that's been debunked. It was somebody with Rihanna's party there, but it wasn't Rihanna herself. So there's been a little back and forth between the sports and entertainment world. Rihanna, for her part, says that she is a big LeBron James fan, so maybe that's part of the reason why she got that stare down from KD.
And for our VOA basketball fans, Game 3 in the NBA Finals will be Wednesday night in Cleveland, Ohio. The Cavaliers, the defending champions, trail 2-0. So they're going to be looking to, I guess, take advantage of their home court.
Got to defend that home court.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, let's go now to Paris with the French Open and talked about La Duodecima for Real Madrid. Well, we have a man looking for La Decima, his 10th Roland Garros title, and that, of course, is Rafael Nadal, continuing that quest, playing arguably some of the best tennis he's ever played. And looking at the matchup on the men's side, you have Rafael Nadal through to the quarterfinals. You have Andy Murray, the world number one, is through. Novak Djokovic, who is the 2016 French Open championship, he's into the quarterfinals. And Stan Wawrinka, who's the 2015 champion, he's into the quarterfinals. So on the men's side, all the heavy hitters making their way into the second week of Roland Garros. On the women's side, 180 degrees opposite. Venus Williams was knocked out in the fourth round over the weekend, and that guarantees that not only will we have a first-time French Open winner for the women, but a first-time Grand Slam tournament winner. All of the women that are left, none of them have won a Grand Slam tournament ever. So we're going to have a first-time winner in Paris for the women. It's very exciting. A lot of people saying that with Serena out, with Maria Sharapova not getting into the tournament, with Victoria Azarenka out, that it was really anybody's chance to take it. And certainly that has played out for the women. So we'll see how that goes. But lots of excitement for some of these lower-seeded players who have made a nice deep run into that tournament there.
Have any of those lower-seeded players caught your eye, Andrew, in terms of the Paris action?
Well, that's the interesting thing is that, you know, even though they're higher-seeded players like Simona Halep, who's the favorite going into this tournament, she's been to a Grand Slam final before, but she's never won one. So she's kind of still the favorite, even though she's a pretty high seed. But people like Caroline Wozniacki, who's coming back from injury, Kristina Mladenovic, they're also favored to do quite well. So we'll see. But it's going to be an exciting final for the women, whoever raises that trophy.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
Thanks also to my producer this evening, Kwame Ofori. Thanks to Voice of America's kicking engineer, Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States has pulled out of the Paris Agreement on climate change. In making the announcement, President Donald Trump said the agreement disadvantages the United States to the exclusive benefit of other countries, leaving American workers and taxpayers to absorb the cost in terms of lost jobs, lower wages, shuttered factories, and vastly diminished economic production. According to the president, the agreement not only subjects American citizens to harsh economic restrictions, it also fails in its environmental mission.
I cannot in good conscience support a deal that punishes the United States, which is what it does. The world's leader in environmental protection, while imposing no meaningful obligations on the world's leading polluters.
Mr. Trump asserted that under the agreement, China will be able to increase emissions for a staggering 13 years, while India has made its participation contingent on receiving billions of dollars in foreign aid from developed countries. He further suggested that while the United States' nationally determined contribution would limit the development of clean coal in the United States, China will be allowed to build hundreds of additional coal plants. In short, said President Trump, the agreement doesn't eliminate coal jobs. It just transfers those jobs out of the United States and ships them to foreign countries. President Trump said that even if the Paris Agreement were fully implemented with complete compliance from all nations, it is estimated it would only produce 0.2 degrees Celsius reduction in global temperature by the year 2100. He added, 14 days of carbon emissions from China alone would wipe out the gains from America's reductions in the year 2030, after we had to spend billions and billions of dollars, lost jobs, closed factories, and suffered much higher energy costs for our businesses and for our homes. President Trump said he is willing to immediately work with U.S. Democratic Party leaders either to renegotiate the terms of U.S. participation in the Paris Agreement or pursue a new deal that protects the environment, our companies, our citizens, and our country. President Trump stated that under his administration, the United States will continue to be the cleanest and most environmentally friendly country on earth. But we are not going to put our businesses out of work, and we're not going to lose our jobs.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lenor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Join us this Tuesday as we take a look at menstrual health and adolescent girls. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
How much do you know about HIV, the virus that causes AIDS? Do you know that you cannot get HIV from toilet seat or a drinking glass? HIV is transmitted through blood and bodily fluids, primarily through sexual contact. One way to protect yourself if you are sexually active is to be sure to use a condom. Condoms can reduce the risk of getting or transmitting HIV by up to 98%.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.